welcome to episode 58 of Long Box Heroes. I'm Todd, joined with Leonard. How are we doing, Leonard?
I wish I had the ability to turn patches and badges into stickers.
Ooh. Is that like you wish that was your mutant ability?
I don't know if it was I would just like it as a one-time ability.
Inhuman ability.
That's right.
What we don't own. You know what I mean?
No, see, the handy-dandy notebook is getting filled.
Uh-oh.
And it's almost time for a new handy-dandy note.
And you want to have the same stickers on your notebook, right?
No. There's stuff that I have as either quote-unquote badges or buttons and patches that I've gotten from, like, different Kickstarter-y things that I wish I had as stickers.
Oh. Well, maybe there's got to be a way to do that. Scan them and then send them off to the sticker store.
There's only 10 pages left in the handy-dandy notebook.
Oh, and I know
11, actually. 11. My apologies.
And I know the super secret things that are in there, too.
That's right. There is super secret things in there.
That's right. Stuff nobody can know.
That's right. It's all the comics that I've been getting since March of 2012 is this book. And wrestling results as of and other secret wrestling things from March of 2011 to now.
And I've seen them. I've looked inside. I don't know what any of it means.
That's right.
Because none of it is Kevin Owens. So I don't know any.
Actually.
Yeah. What?
Let me look here. As I do have a bunch of Kevin Owens results in here. Because I was on shows with Kevin Owens.
Oh, wow.
I was on multiple shows with Kevin Owens.
Look at you name dropping.
That's right. You brought him up.
I know, but I opened the door so you could bust through it.
That's right. I had to kick it down, brother.
That's right. So, how you been?
Good. Busy, man. Keeping it real. Catching up. First of all, one, this was an eventful San Diego Comic-Con. There was actually a ton of news. However, calling an audible, none of that news matters.
What?
Because the most important news came out on Tuesday when Marvel, in their October solicitation, said that they're doing a Superior Foes of Spider-Man omnibus.
At a relatively cheap price, too, I think.
$50.
Which is cheap for an omnibuy, but then again, it's only 17 issues.
Right. So, every other story, except for the fact that they're doing Superior Foes of Spider-Man action figures, none of it else matters. There are your two stories.
Mm-hmm. Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Catch you guys next week. Boop.
World's quickest show.
That's right. But no, Todd, there was actually things that happened at San Diego. We're going to try to cover kind of the highlights, like what appeals to us.
Yeah, basically, it's the news is just going to be riddled with Comic-Con stuff. I mean, you know, I could tease it, but Comic-Con stuff.
Right.
And then we have our free digital books and sales.
Mm-hmm.
We also have what we read last week. I think we cross over on everything this week. And we even have a preview book, don't we?
Oh man, 2 weeks in a row we have preview books. You guys are getting spoiled with this.
That's right. We got stroke in the industry now.
That's right.
What we're looking forward to this week. Also our movie contest and our character of the year bracket is this one is the DC Batman number 1 versus Aquaman the number 10 seed. I don't know who wins. Aquaman's got the fishes in his corner. Do fishes use the internet?
No, but they do get caught in a net, which is kind of like a web.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the net, so they do use the net.
They internet.
That's right. They
fish internets.
There was an episode of 30 Rock where they were trying to save the show from being canceled, and Kenneth the Page, the one idea that he came up with was bird internet.
Okay. Oh, it's like, is that like bird teeth from Charlie?
Yes, like Bird Law, yes.
Bird Law. Fantastic.
So, we got that, and of course we have what we're most looking forward to coming out this week. Tons and tons of stuff to cover.
Right.
So, let's get right into the actual San Diego news. No putzing around here, folks. Obviously I jokingly said here that Superior Foes of Spider-Man stuff is the biggest news, but I was aghast. I was shocked to see that they were doing those figures.
When that, you know, picture came over my timeline, I was like, okay, I only see a couple of them. Are they going to do them all?
Yes.
I want them all, and I want the Silvermane car. Oh my God. I actually want like a remote control Silvermane, like life size.
Right.
I think that would be the best thing ever. I would buy that from Marvel in a heartbeat.
I just want Boomerang. I want to dress up as Boomerang. That's all.
Do you own a Boomerang?
No, but I do have, no, I don't have a Boomerang. Oh. There's like an art to throwing them.
What? You don't just whip them and they come right back?
No, you don't just whip them.
I always thought you just whipped a Boomerang. They did the woo, and they just come right back.
Yes.
That's my Boomerang impersonation, by the way.
It's better than your Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh, it's my Nelson Reilly's pretty good, but I'll let it go.
Okay.
Don't want to have too many impressions on the show.
No, obviously not.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of Amazing Foes of Spider-Man, there was a ton of new Marvel books announced, stuff that's coming out all the way up into the end of the year. The one that appealed to me the most is a Spider-Man Deadpool team up something being done by Joe Kelly and Ed McGuinness, the creative team on my favorite run of Deadpool of all time.
I knew this would probably interest you. I've never really been a Deadpool fan, and I don't even think I've read a Joe Kelly Deadpool, but as soon as I saw this, I was like, oh, Len's going to like this.
Did you? No, you didn't. So, remember when Deadpool had like 5 monthly books?
Yes, and one was a team up, and
right, and one was it was a bunch of nonsense, right? So there was an episode. There was an issue where they did it. Was like issue 700, right? Mm-hmm. And then they would just like arbitrary, like 6 months later, it was like issue 900,
right?
Well, issue 700 had an issue, had a story in there by arguably the most successful writer to write Deadpool up to that point, and the most successful artist to draw Deadpool up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Kelly was the writer, and Rob Liefeld was the artist.
Let me see if I can guess where you're going.
Go ahead.
Is that the one where Deadpool steals the van?
Yes.
With a giant foot on top of it for no reason.
Which I had to think was either a knowing gag that Rob was in on, possibly not though, or something that Joe Kelly was just doing to like just to be a fun good times guy.
A little ribbon.
Sure, he didn't take the engine out of his car or padlock his gear bag to the ceiling of the building that they were in. No, he just decided to write a story where every panel, Rob Liefeld would have to draw the biggest foot in the history of feet. I never saw anybody talk about that. You know what I mean? Like, it was just something that, like, I noticed, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to tell as many people as I could. But anyway, Joe Kelly, doing another Deadpool story, some Spider-Man stuff in there, Ed McGuinness on art. Yay, I'm very happy about this. Now, I understand that there was a Deadpool trailer that got shown at San Diego and was leaked online, but then it disappeared.
Yes.
Did you get a chance to see it before the ghosts took it away?
Yes, I did see it before the ghosts took it down.
Right. See, I did not get a chance to see it. So,
well,
it was one of those things when I was in the car for 24 hours out of 36 that it was like up and down and I wasn't going to try to watch it on my phone, which is not the optimal experience to watch anything, a phone.
No.
Not being a Deadpool fan, what were your thoughts?
Okay. I could get crucified for this because I don't know.
All right.
It seemed like Deadpool to me from what I know of him. He's running around, killing people, acting weird, telling jokes. Mm-hmm. I was yelled at by, you know, a woman we know with an accent who said, that's not Deadpool. That I don't understand Deadpool. That's like her saying that the Doom in the Fantastic Four movie is Doom because he has a metal faceplate. I was like, okay, I guess. I don't know. I'm not going to argue.
I'll have to commiserate with her.
Mm-hmm.
I did get a chance to see the X-Men Apocalypse one.
That one I didn't get to see.
Okay. It was a guy trying to film it on his phone. So, again, not the optimal experience.
Mm-hmm.
You see Apocalypse. You kind of sort of see who his horsemen are, but you really can't tell because by that time, like, the Federales are on him and he's trying to more slyly hide his camera.
He's not holding it above his head like no. Cusack in that movie.
Right, he has the phone in one hand and then he has a lighting rig in the other to get the best lighting for his bootleg thing. But I did get a chance, and we're kind of all over the place here, not going off script. I did watch both the Batman Superman trailer and the Suicide Squad trailer slash sizzle reel, whatever they were calling it, mm-hmm. because they actually did put those out as good quality sort of deals.
Right, after the Suicide Squad one. I don't know about the Batman Superman one, but mm-hmm. the Suicide Squad one, they were very disappointed that one got out there. And they were like, oh, well, you know, since that's out there in low quality form and it was only supposed to be a thing for the people at San Diego, a special thing for those who made it, but we didn't feel it was a good representation of our movie. So we put it out because it was pirated. And I'm like pump the brakes. Warner Brothers, like,
yeah,
you know, because every time that pops, I was on a Facebook page, you know, people were arguing about it. I'm like, you know what? You guys can argue whether it's piracy or this, but every time somebody comments on this post on my Facebook page, the Suicide Squad post goes right to the top. And there it is. So I've seen Suicide Squad 700 times in my timeline on Facebook today. You mm-hmm. know who wins? Warner Brother wins on this
one. Right.
So, like, I don't think, you know, they we should be throwing around, oh my God, you know, they did it. But I saw it. I thought it was very interesting. I think that one works well, like, in the whole Snyder tone of movies, like the way he's doing the DC movies, which are completely different from the Marvel movies. Like, I'm like, Suicide Squad fits right into this, like, I kind of want to see this movie now because, like, I'm like, this works for me.
I will say this. I liked Harley.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Deadshot.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he doesn't feel like they're definitely trying from the trailer, of course, and because it's Will Smith, it seems as though they're trying to make Deadshot to be gooder than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he says the titular line, there sure are a lot of Star Wars out here.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little like, you know what I mean? I did like the little bit of the Joker that we got.
Mm-hmm.
But if the trailer is to tell us anything, then I am going to be correct in that Will Smith will be actually wearing the full costume, mask and all, for approximately 3 minutes of the actual running time of the film.
Over under, who will wear their mask more? Tobey Maguire in the third Spider-Man movie or Will Smith in Suicide Squad?
Will Smith, absolutely. Will wear it. He'll wear it less.
Okay. See, that's the one thing that I'm worried about is because Deadshot's a cool character, and I'm afraid they're going to make him just Will Smith.
Yes.
Like, Will Smith's a great character and all, like, you know, that character, like Vince Vaughn, like Jack Nicholson, like sells tickets, but I don't want that for Deadshot.
It's hard to suspend your disbelief when those people are in a movie and you're supposed to believe they're anyone other than who they are.
Exactly. But I saw it. The only thing that I'm not okay with, I'm like, yeah, a little, see, and I'm afraid to say over the top with this character. I'm not digging on the Leto Joker yet. I only saw a little bit of it, and I'm like, right. I don't know. Like, so far, what I've seen, and I don't want to be that guy on, you know, what I've seen in 8 seconds of footage, not leaning towards, like, looking like it's going to be one of my favorite Jokers, but I'll see the movie before I make that final determination.
Right. I'm with you. And that's the thing is, it seems as though they gave us enough, which was not very much at all,
mm-hmm.
To get a feel. And the feel that I got was not enough to be like, okay, this is terrible and I want no part of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was okay with what I got of it.
Okay. Then what did you think of the Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice trailer?
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't like the Superman costume.
Me too.
I'm a Ben Affleck guy. I like Ben Affleck. He looked good in most of the non-Batman-y scenes. There was one Batman-y scene where, like, it looked like he was in, like, a Middle Eastern country, and it was the daytime-ish, and he was wearing, like, a tan vest over his Batman suit.
Mm-hmm.
That looked a little odd to me.
Right.
But my two biggest concerns about Batman v Superman, Justice Dawn's on the horizon, is it was also announced that if and when they do a Batman solo movie, it's going to be directed by Affleck and co-written by Affleck with Jeff Johns.
Okay. As a director, I have no problem.
Now, wait. And Batman Affleck is in Suicide Squad, and we even see him in the sizzle reel.
Right. Well, you know what? I see all that coming. They want to tie all this together. And you should be at the shop for some of these interesting conversations about the movie. I think they will drop Batman in, like, Affleck has, like, his contract is, all right, you get to write, you get to direct, you get to be Batman, but you will do 4 minutes in every DC movie that comes out in the next, you know, 10 years, like during this phase of the DC movies, because, you know, you can, like, in this day and age, you can green screen somebody in, but that's because they want Batman and everything. It'll be like the comics, but I'm not worried about him as the director because, like, from what I've seen and what I've heard from other people on the movies I haven't seen, he's a great director, but as a writer with Jeff Johns, the Jeff Johns is the guy who gave us Green Lantern, the movie. So it was part of it. Now, I understand Goyer was part. There's a whole thing. We'll see. I'll see on that. But that makes me wary more than Ben Affleck, the director.
Right. And see, and for me, it's not so much as Ben Affleck, the director. It's not so much as Ben Affleck, the writer. It seems as though the decision has already been made that Ben Affleck is Batman from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't even gotten him in one movie. And he's already in a second movie, Suicide Squad, and slated to be writing and directing and starring in the next one.
Oh,
for all we know, the movie can come out, Batman v Superman, and it could be terrible.
Okay, here's the discussion that we've had at the shop. Not me and you, but other people. Batman v Superman is going to make money. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care, like, you know, if that movie is the worst movie ever made. That's going to make bank. I'm not saying it's going to make a billion if it's bad, but if it is good, it's going to make a lot of money, make $1 billion. And that's going to be the one that's going to have no problem getting made. It's stuff like the Suicide Squad, which has no name recognition outside of the comics. And then whether or not all these other characters fly or are terrible. Like, what if, because Marvel hasn't had a stinker of a Marvel movie, even though I didn't like Iron Man 3. You know, that still made over $1 billion. That was the second highest movie after Avengers for a while.
Right.
But DC has all these movies. What if you get another Green Lantern in this run, like early out of the gate? Like, you have Batman, Superman, and then say the next movie is Flash. Batman movies make money regardless. You have Flash, and the Flash is terrible. It's god-awful. And it has the stink of the Green Lantern movie. What do you do then? You know what I mean? Like, there's no cachet, like, with Marvel. Like, Marvel, I'm like, I'll go see an Ant-Man movie. I got no problem seeing an Ant-Man movie. You get three clunkers.
Yeah.
Maybe in a row. If they were spaced out, then I'd think of it less. But DC, you better be, other than Superman, Batman, you better bring it, because people are going to get, like, they're going to walk away quick.
Right.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Sorry. Okay, so I'm getting what you're putting down, but here's the other thing. And obviously, DC is going to have to play catch up no matter what, and the strength of Batman v Superman, and it's going to make a lot of money. And depending on how it's positioned and marketed and so forth, Suicide Squad, I'm sure, will do just fine as well. I don't think it's going to be terrible. But again, the time will still tell. Here's the other thing that DC needs to do, and they've got at least a year to do so. Ant-Man comes out this weekend. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ant-Man probably to date the riskiest Marvel movie that they're putting out.
I would say so. I think Guardians of the Galaxy was close, but that had a great director, a tried and true director, and an interesting, you know, premise. Star Wars meets superheroes, blah blah blah. Ant-Man is definitely the hardest one. Go on.
Right, but here's the here's the other thing about it is, if you, as John Q. Public, who only knows these movies, right, and you know comic books on the periphery of things.
Mm-hmm.
After this weekend, when you go see Ant-Man, if you like this movie called Ant-Man, you can go to your local comic book store, and there is going to be a comic that just came out that says really big on the cover, Ant-Man number one. Granted, it's an annual, but it says Ant-Man number one, and it looks just like that guy that you saw in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be inclined to pick that up. You might go into your shop and say, hey, I saw that Ant-Man movie. Do you have any Ant-Man comics? And then you would give it to someone, and it looks just like the Ant-Man that he just saw. Whereas, let's say, when Man of Steel came out, and you went to the you went to your comic book store and said, I want a Man of Steel comic. And they handed you whatever the most recent issues of Superman were, and it looks nothing like what you just saw.
Okay.
DC has a year to line this up so that there is a Batman Superman something that has a number one on it the weekend that movie comes out.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like the movie. Whether you read it, I read it, nobody else reads it, it needs to be existing.
It won't happen.
Right.
Because it's never happened. Even during the Nolan Batman movies, that was when all that craziness was going on with Morrison's Batman during some of it. It's like they don't care. There's no, you know, in sync or whatever you call it, stuff going on there. And I don't think there will be. I really don't. Superman will still be in a t-shirt. Batman will be Jim Gordon. Spoiler alert. So I don't know. That's the way I look at it. But then again, Superman and Batman doesn't need that. Superman, Batman doesn't need that. Ant-Man's a different animal.
Okay.
An ant is a different animal than a bat.
Does it need it? Couldn't hurt.
I'm not saying, but they don't care.
They should care. And I think that whether they care or don't care, whether they should or shouldn't care, the fact that, and whether Marvel cares or not, you know, the publishing versus the movies, whether they care or not, they should at least give the presence that they care.
I agree.
Right. Even if it's just lip service, at least play along and say, at least so they can point to a suit and say, look, synergy. Our comic books, our cartoons, our TV shows, our everything else line up with the big product that we're pushing in the theaters this summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, you get an extra gold rim for your Lamborghini or whatever it is, you know?
Unless you're mutants.
Right. Or the Fantastic Four.
Thing sauce.
All right, so we ended up going off on a tangent about the trailers and everything else. Any other stories you wanted to discuss from San Diego?
The Star Wars comics.
All right, so Star Wars comics are continuing. The next miniseries has been announced, and it's a Chewbacca miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Jerry Dugan, who of late has been doing a bunch of stuff at Marvel. Did Deadpool, was doing Nova, has been doing a couple more things. But they are actually going to be officially crossing over the Star Wars and Darth Vader books, which more or less have been kind of sort of crossing over because they're more or less happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an official crossover between the two books.
The Chewbacca one kind of interests me is because I want to see how they're going to do that for a character that doesn't talk, if you know what I mean.
Oh, they've published a Rocket Raccoon book and are currently publishing a Groot comic book.
Right. No, I don't mean that. I just want to see if they'll translate what Chewbacca says.
Yes.
Or do the whole, like, because I always like Chewbacca. It's like, what's that, Chewbacca? Why, yes, we're going to go in that room. You know, and it's always like, you know, that's
was that Chewbacca? Luke stuck down a well.
Yeah. Good boy. But, so, yeah, I'm kind of interested in the Chewbacca, you know, see how they do it. I think that could be interesting.
Right. Some TV stuff, at the very least, that Starz is going to be doing an Ash vs. the Evil Dead TV show, which is going to star Bruce Campbell as well as Lucy Lawless. I watched the trailer for that. This could become my favorite TV show of all time just based on the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're not a horror movie guy, and I know you may have a lot of a lot of interaction with someone who might be a bigger Bruce Campbell, et cetera, fan than I.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen these Evil Dead Army of Darkness films?
Yes, I was made to watch the Evil Dead trilogy.
And what is your opinion of said trilogy?
Well, first of all, I was told I only need to watch 2 and 3 because 2 is half of 2 is all of 1 with yes. less characters. And I was yes. like, no, let's do this. So there's no – I have to go back and watch it later. So I watched it. It was interesting. They were fun. Mm-hmm. Horror not being my genre, I didn't love it. If I had to choose a favorite out of the three, guess which one would be my favorite?
Army of Darkness.
Of course.
Of course.
That movie's fantastic and Ray Harryhausen-esque.
Yes.
And by that point, it's like just ridiculous. And, yeah, I enjoyed them. I didn't love them. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Bruce Campbell fan. Yeah, you know what? As a matter of fact, the person who yelled at me about Deadpool yelled at me about not being a Bruce Campbell fan today, too. So, yeah, he's okay. He's okay. He fell into it backwards. That's all I'm going to say. Herbie the Love Bug's his best movie. I'm going to say that on record.
Herbie Fully Loaded.
Fully Loaded, yes.
Starring Lindsay Lohan.
Mm-hmm. Who didn't have the metallic foot in that one.
No.
Mm-hmm.
That was in I Know Who Killed Me.
Right.
So I love this. I cannot wait for this to come out. And it's coming out on October 31st, Halloween. Couldn't have been more perfect. The tone felt right. Bruce Campbell looks fantastic. And by fantastic, I mean terrible. And I mean that in the most awesome way possible. Lucy Lawless is fantastic as well. Yeah, this is right up my alley.
Mm-hmm.
Could overtake Walking Dead as my favorite TV show that has the word dead in the title.
Mm. So you like it? You're going to think you might like it even more than Doctor Who?
Yeah.
With all the Doctor Who episodes you've seen?
Right. The 2 that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
3, I think.
I don't know. 3. I forget.
No. I saw the anniversary special. And then I saw not the, like, whatever, it was the one where they went to the Robin Hood time, like the third one that season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. So I saw 3 episodes of Doctor Who.
Wow. You're on a roll.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
There's an 8th Doctor comic book coming out.
Yes. It was the one thing I was refreshing my Twitter timeline on the day they announced. They're like, today we announce which doctor is not a witch doctor, but which of the doctors is getting his own mini series of the ones that haven't had a series yet. And I'm like, 4, give me 4. It's got to be 4. And I'm like, no, it's 8, but I'm cool with that because he's only had 1 TV movie. And then he went away to the radio dramas. So I'm looking forward to an 8th Doctor mini series and any other ones they throw my way.
Is it a creative? Have they announced a creative team with this? Does it not matter to you?
It doesn't matter. I'm probably going to try it regardless. But they did mention the creative team, and I do not have it in front of me right now.
Okay, so the artist is Emma Vaselli,
mm-hmm.
and the writer is George Mann,
mm-hmm.
who wrote some Doctor Who novel.
Oh, he wrote the War Doctor's novel, which I actually have to get because that's the only other place we've ever seen the War Doctor, really.
Engines of War.
Yes. So he's got some Doctor Who cred, so
mm-hmm.
we'll see.
Wasn't there one that was written by a guy who wrote a history of things?
I think so.
Yeah. That doesn't count.
No, it doesn't.
So the last thing, again, I want to mention from San Diego, and like so there was a lot of, you know, we can't cover everything, of course. I would say, from announcements alone, the winner of San Diego Comic-Con was IDW.
Yep, this is the one I wanted to talk about too, after at the end.
So IDW, you know, they do a lot of licensed stuff, and we're going to be talking a little bit later on about one of their licensed crossovers with DC. They announced that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are going to be crossing over with Batman.
That is the project I think every comic fan wants to see.
Yes. And they actually have a very good Batman-esque creative team on it. James Tynion IV, who is a Scott Snyder protege, has done a lot of Bat Family stuff. And Freddie Williams II, who I'm a big fan of his art. So that is huge. I can see that probably being like the book of the month.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I was hoping it was going to be J.K. Woodward who did it.
Yes.
But Freddie Williams is good, so I like him too. But this, I think that's a book that when I saw, I was like, yeah, that's a no-brainer for me. That's probably, you know, probably the biggest superhero comic ever with the biggest independent comic that's ever existed, and you're good to go.
Right. It was the story from San Diego that my son was most excited about.
Oh. Was he scouring the internet looking for San Diego stories?
No, but as I had the links open, he's like, oh, what's this?
Well, Batman, yeah. Turtles, huh?
If only there was a Hulk crossover with Yoshi from Super Mario Brothers, then it would be a different story.
Ooh, let's make that happen.
Again, I don't know. I think Nintendo and Marvel might be on different pages.
I don't know.
But the other big IDW announcement is that due to their deal with Hasbro that they have, and they do like Transformers, G.I. Joe, My Little Pony, and whatnot, they now are going to have the license to Micronauts and Rom the Space Knight, which has been two books that have been tied up in legal mumbo-jumbo for many, many years, never reprinted. Marvel's had the rights to them or not able to publish them, so on and so forth, based on toy lines, essentially. And now that IDW has them, I'm sure they'll be doing the reprints of the old books, and it'll be very interesting to see if and when new stuff comes out for these as well.
But that's crazy, because I'm going to go out on a limb and say you won't see any reprinted stuff of the Micronauts.
No, you don't think so?
You know why? Because why? Here's the... half the Micronauts are owned by Micronauts, and half the Micronauts are owned by Marvel.
I thought it was less than half was owned by Marvel.
Or some of them. So there was characters that were created by Micronauts that you won't see in these by Marvel, that you won't see in these IDW. Remember Bug from...
Right.
And he was in Guardians. That was a Marvel-created Micronauts. And we saw him, you know, during Annihilation and stuff like that. So you're not going to see him in these IDW books. So... you'll see, like, whatever they can do over here. And Rom the Space Knight is the same way. Rom himself and some of the characters are there. But remember, the Space Knights were in a Reign of Kings or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, they were in there was the miniseries afterwards with, like, Beta Ray Bill and Ronan the Accuser and all that stuff. They were, like... not the Avengers, there was something else. The Revengers or something like that. But
yes.
Yeah, so I don't know what we'll see. So I don't know if they can legally reprint that stuff because Marvel owns some of the characters. So I think we might just get new stuff. That's just my opinion, but you know, I'm just a small town bird lawyer on Bird Law. So I don't know. I don't know. What's your opinion on that? You think we'll see some of the reprints?
I'm sure we'll see reprints of something.
Okay. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. We'll see.
Yes. Again, I'm sure there's going to be a way that they can get that sort of thing out and around.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to spend the money to get the license if they're not going to be able to get the... you know what I mean? They're not going to be able to get the other stuff.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
So I think that covers all the news, unless there was anything else that you wanted to discuss from San Diego.
No. Just that
I'll say this. Oh, go ahead.
I was just that it's a big con, and it's, I guess they announced it's staying there.
Oh, that's good.
So, I don't know how many year, like, till the what year, like, 2019 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, but what were you going to say?
This weekend of San Diego with all the news and everything coming out made me feel like, I want to go to San Diego. You know, like, it seemed like there was a lot going on and you didn't hear tons of horror stories of people having horrible times and all this sort of stuff. Like, obviously beforehand it's selling out and so forth, but like, this one sounded like a fun San Diego, if that makes any sense.
To hear a horror story, did you hear about the Hasbro table with the Star Wars stuff?
No.
That it was the first day of the show and it opened up and they had like a Hasbro line for like some exclusive Star Wars toys.
Yeah,
and Hasbro's the big like get of toys sometimes there. And I guess they the fans that somehow people weren't supposed to be in there early, like allowed to be in the lines with retailer passes. And I guess at one point it got so problematic, like people were shoving, somebody got pushed down and stepped on trying to get people get past them. And in the end, Hasbro was like, all right, we're done here. Everybody away from the table. If you have a retailer pass, get out of line and we're trying this again. We're not selling anything. Go. And then somebody else had like money ripped out of their hands and robbed in the line and everything. I was like, yeah, these are the stories that, you know, make me not want to go. But then again, I've already been to San Diego, so it's off my bucket list.
I didn't hear that story. Now I don't want to go.
Yeah, I'll send you the link.
Okay. So, speaking of links, there are other conventions happening this weekend. It is not the end of the conventions after San Diego. Oh no, there are still things going on. There's the Jersey Shore Comic Show, which is a nice little one-day show. There's also the Great Lakes Comics Expo in Michigan that has William Messner Loebs as their special guest. Mm. And then also across the pond is the London Film and Comic Con. It's a biggie. There's all sorts of media people, wrestling people. But their big gets that they have on the comic side of things are Dan Slott, Gary Frank, and Kevin Eastman.
Ooh. I bet you Dan Slott does the Doctor Who experience while he's there.
Oh, I'm sure he's going to Doctor Who it up.
Mm-hmm.
If your Spider-Man's not in a TARDIS or wearing a fez or something.
Mm. Wow, you got that right.
I know what he does. He wears a fez.
Sometimes.
He's a Shriner.
Sometimes. And bow ties are cool.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. Ask Bob Backlund in the 11th Doctor.
You know, and this is, you brought it up, so I have no choice but to mention it. So I listened to a podcast this week. Mm-hmm. It's called Exile on Bad Street, where they talk about old wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
It was a near 3-hour podcast,
mm-hmm,
where they reviewed all of the title feuds that Bob Backlund had during his 70-month reign as WWF champion in the late 70s and early 80s.
Okay.
And it was fantastic. I loved every second of it.
Of course you did.
If I wasn't so backed up on my podcasts, I would have just listened to it again. I just would have rewound it right back to the beginning and like, let's give it another whirl, folks.
Okay.
Oh, it was really good, though. So you mentioned Bob Backlund. If you're a wrestling fan, you like the old wrestling stuff, I highly recommend Exile on Bad Street as a podcast. They did a Dusty Rhodes one after Dusty had passed. They did a Buddy Landell one after he had passed. Buddy Landell kind of one of those almost sort of was big guys, but he's a guy like if you're a dyed-in-the-wool wrestling fan, you know Buddy Landell, but there's a lot of old-school stuff in there as well, if you're an old-school guy like me.
And I think you put too many W's in that federation's name.
No, it used to be the Worldwide Wrestling
what?
Federation.
What? There was an extra W?
There used to be an extra W. Vince Jr. got rid of that extra W.
Oh, and then he got rid of the F.
Oh, boy, he turned it into an E. He just put a little...
just a little extra line.
That's right. So there's some digital stuff available, a bunch of freebies, all the same freebies that were available from last week to this week. What is it? It was the Tales to Astonish number 27 that had the first appearance of Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
That they've just gone ahead and renamed Ant-Man 27. That's available for free. The original issue of Avengers back from the 60s. The newest version of the Avengers, like the, or actually it's a Avengers tie into the movie and Guardians of the Galaxy, the Abnett and Lanning one. Those are all the Marvel freebies. Image is a bunch of freebies. DC still has all those preview books for all the new books that just started last month. But the sales that are going on right now is there's a Judge Dredd sale going on, a Powers sale going on. A lot of that early stuff from Bendis is really good, and a Cyborg sale. And Cyborg doesn't have a ton of solo stuff, so it's a lot of Teen Titans stuff on sale.
Any Teen Titans Go?
No Teen Titans Go, sadly. They should have had all of Teen Titans Go on sale. A mistake, in my opinion. But a lot of that early Geoff Johns run, when he rebooted the characters in like the mid-2000s, and a classic, one of the greatest stories in comics, the Judas Contract is one of the books that's up there for sale, and it's relatively short. And I think they also have the annual that ties into it as well there. Mm-hmm. So you can get like that great, great comic book story for like $6.
That's a deal.
That is a deal. So that covers sales and whatnots and those things. Let's get into what we read from this past week. Todd, you kick it off.
All right. Let's start with my pick of the week.
All right.
Star Trek Green Lantern, The Spectrum War. Mm-hmm. And you actually read this, didn't you?
I did. I decided, hey, let's be a team player. I like Green Lantern. Star Trek is a thing that I know of. Let's read this book from IDW, written by Mike Johnson, with art by Angel Hernandez. Mm-hmm. The pitch of this is, it's Green Lantern meets the current movie version of Star Trek.
Yes. Which is, I love the current movie version of Star Trek. I'm, you know, not that beholden to the original stuff that, I love the movies. And this basically starts out with Ganthet, on the run before, that's all it says, with all, like, one of each of the colors of rings, except for white and black. And he's being chased by something. I have an idea of what it might be, but we're not 100% sure. And he's like, oh, you're not going to get the rings. I'm going to go somewhere else. And he goes to another time, it says, and another universe, to the Star Trek universe. And basically, Kirk and Spock beam down somewhere and find the rings and Ganth's body and bring him back to the ship. And trouble ensues with the Klingons and the rings, maybe. And maybe we have an appearance of somebody. But I really enjoyed this because, like I said, I think they nailed all the characters. I think all the characters look like the actors, whether it's Zachary Quinto or Chris Pine. And they all seem to act like they do in the movies. And the character, like the Klingon that shows up, is from the past, one of the pre-new movies. So I like that, too, that there's an old throwback in there. And I'm curious to see who's going to get what ring. Like, we've already seen a few of them jump to each people, and I want to see how, you know, supposedly emotionless Spock is gonna fall into this the emotional spectrum and everything. I actually had a lot of fun reading this, and this was exactly what I wanted so far. I mean, I want more out of my Star Trek GL crossover.
I enjoyed this quite a bit as well. It is a book that is, and again, I hate saying this and I hate when other people say it, but it's a book that was better than it had any right to be. Mm-hmm. Like, you're taking two properties that technically have nothing to do with each other other than the fact that they take place in space, mm-hmm. putting them together, and you could have done a very lazy job with it and make it very uninteresting. Mm-hmm. And they did not do that. Or sometimes it's weird reading Star Trek dialogue in print.
The technobabble.
The techno babble, but it wasn't over my head because in the limited Star Trek knowledge that I have, I'm like, oh, I recognize that. I recognize that. All right. I'm catching up.
It's so iconic at this point.
Exactly. Star Trek stuff. Right. And it's iconic to hear it. Mm-hmm. Being that I don't read a ton of Star Trek comic books. I don't read the Star Trek expanded universe novels or whatever. It's very rare that I see these things in print. But again, I do like it. It's if you like either one of these properties, you probably have a cursory knowledge of the other. Mm-hmm. I obviously know more Green Lantern than I do Star Trek. I'm sure there's people that know more Star Trek than Green Lantern. But at the very least, in the last couple of years, you know that there's multiple color rings. You can't escape the fact that that's a thing that's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on the main cover, of course, you see, and again, this is not a spoiler, it's right in the cover, that the Klingon in question gets the yellow lantern ring. There's the scene at the end where the rings kind of start going all around and picking their new hosts and stuff. And some get picked, some don't get picked. They kind of leave it at a cliffhanger, which I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I got to, it was one of those things, like, okay, I got to get next month's issue to see who gets what rings.
That's what I'm all about. Though on the cover in question thing is, there's a bunch of different covers.
Now, that was going to be my next thing to you is, do you know, you someone who loves variant covers,
mm-hmm.
do you know how many variant covers there were for this book?
I don't, I want to say 7. Am I off? What is there?
Oh, it's.
There's got to be one for every ring now that I think about it.
There are 25 different covers for this book. And it's not one for every ring.
Oh, really?
It's just arbitrary. It's like, here's the Jay Lee cover. Here's the black and white Jay Lee cover. Here's the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive one. Here's the gate. Here's the one side where it's Star Trek guys. Here's the other one where it's the Green Lantern guys. And then here's the gatefold cover that puts those two covers together. And rinse and repeat.
Mm-hmm. The one I ended up actually choosing was the Enterprise flying through the circle in the Green Lantern symbol.
I like that one, the minimalistic one.
Yes, I mean, there's nothing on the cover other than that, a few stars, and all black, and the logo, and you're good to go. But I think it worked. I think that sums up everything I need to know about this comic, as in, there's a Green Lantern, and there is a Star Trek ship. Good to go.
Right, there's like one where it's like, who's the... Yeah, a lot of like, comic book shop exclusive ones.
Mm-hmm.
I will say there's one. Oh boy. And not a sponsor. Nothing we mentioned on here is a sponsor of the show. But the Think Geek one, which is they sell like geek and sundry items, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's Hal using his Green Lantern ring to make a hand doing the live long and prosper gimmick.
You know what? I'm in the back of my issue now, and they have yes. those. That is sweet.
I don't know if I would say it was sweet.
Oh, come on. Can you do that, actually?
Oh, yeah, very easily, actually. So, if you were kind of like, I don't know about this, check it out. Green Lantern Star Trek was really good.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to discuss my pick from last week, which was Saga number 30, because it was like part 6 of a 6-part storyline. The end of an issue, cliffhangery stuff, the usuals. But there is another book that came out this past week that I am going to talk about from Image, and that is Walking Dead number 144.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to attempt to be as spoiler-free as possible on this.
Right.
Because I think we can do it. I have faith in us.
All right.
So, a lot of stuff has been going on. They have Rick has a burgeoning utopia built.
Mm-hmm.
Getting things back to normal. So much so that they're having a little street fair. And while this street fair is going on, we were introduced many, many issues ago to the Whisperers. A group of people living off the land. Who wear masks to blend in with the zombies.
I think they wear, more than that, even.
Well, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Again, trying to be as spoiler-free as possible. I don't know how far into the trades this goes, you know what I mean?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's quite all right. So, in one of these skirmishes between the two, they did pick up a young girl. Who they captured. She's around Carl's age. Carl takes a liking to this girl, takes a very much liking to this girl, and decides that he's going to leave the current place where he is with his father and everybody else that he's been with for the last 140 some odd issues and go with this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Much to the chagrin of the leader known as Alpha, which is also this girl's mother. So Rick takes a group of people to go to the camp to get this girl, or to get Carl back, and to bring this girl back as well. Rick does not agree with the way that things are being run by these people, the Whisperers, and he's like, I'm going to save my son, I'm going to save this girl. The woman, Alpha, gets the drop on Rick, says, if you keep messing with us, here's this thing that I'm going to unleash on you. Mm-hmm. And again, being vague. So Rick convinces Carl and the girl to come back with him.
Pretty much.
But not without some losses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've talked about The Walking Dead before, and we've talked about the villains of The Walking Dead. Your governors,
Negan.
Your Negans, and now this woman, Alpha. I'm more scared of this woman, Alpha, than the governor and Negan combined.
For what she's capable of, yes. For what she can unleash, like you said, and bring down upon them, yes. But this ending that they had did not stir me as much as other ones have. Like, just there was something about it that I wasn't invested in a lot of what had happened.
I get what you're saying, but for me, it was the sheer number the short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she was able to do what she did so quickly...
Mm-hmm.
Whether I'm emotionally invested in the who,
mm-hmm.
it's the how and the what that gets me.
Right.
But
that's a one-time thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Or is it?
No, it is. Because once word gets back to people of, you know, watch what you're doing, nobody's going to just, you know, wander off, you know?
But they didn't, but they didn't wander off. She did what she did only while Rick and a lot of the other bigger people were distracted. She essentially snuck in.
I gotcha.
You follow what I'm saying?
Right, but I think it wasn't as easy. I mean, it's not easy what she did, but it's also, I think, you know, not knowing and the fear where it was outside the wall. This was a one-time thing. But the thing that she's holding over Rick's head that I can let loose at any time, you're like, that's the big thing. I don't know. I guess, like I said, it's very vague and I don't know how well we're explaining it, but without, you know, giving details away. I just think, I think, in my opinion, it's a big deal, the ending of this book, but not as a big deal as everybody's making it out for me. And I can only speak for myself.
Right.
So,
but I enjoyed it very much, and I can't wait to see where it goes next.
Right.
Moving on. One of the other books that I think we both read from this past week would be Star Wars Lando number 1.
Yes.
Written by Charles Soule with art by Alex Maleev. Essentially, just like we've seen a lot of these books, they take place kind of in between episodes 4 and 5. I think this one might even be taking place earlier than that.
I think this is the first one that takes place. It would have to. I mean, the whole Star Wars universe, I always felt, was in real time, as stupid as that sounds. It's like Star Wars happens, then we jump 3 years, like in real life, to Empire Strikes Back, and we jump 3 years to Return of the Jedi. And so Lucas knew, he's like, I have a gap to tell any stories that I want in these books and anything like that. But I feel because of, you know, Lobot showing up, that this isn't just before Empire. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, as I was reading this, Lando, when they show his ship, it's the Falcon, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it could be between Star Wars and Empire, and he's close to getting Cloud City.
Well, I don't know. Like, by the end of this, I think he could be, because at the beginning of this, he's just some schmuck.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who's not so much as down in his luck, but he's got a debt he has to repay, mm-hmm. and he's hustling to try to repay it. Lobot is his right-hand man, and he makes a deal to do a big score that's going to make him even,
mm-hmm.
which is something we've seen many a times before, and he's tasked with stealing a ship. And when they're talking about it, I thought the ship was going to end up being what would become the Millennium Falcon.
Right. But
it wasn't.
I was thinking it was something else.
Yes.
And I was close, but I wasn't thinking what the ship turned out to be. I was thinking further down the trough, if mm-hmm. that makes any sense.
Right. So he's tasked with stealing the ship, returning just the ship. His debt is clear, and then whatever he finds on the ship, he could keep.
Right. Because it's supposedly filled with artifacts or something.
Right. And therein lies where the crux of this story is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of this?
I really liked it because I think it added a layer. I mean, I didn't read all the Star Wars from Dark Horse over the years or the expansion novels. I've read a few. I think this gave a depth to Lando, an interesting depth that, you know, as Han always said, he was a bit shady. He's like, you know, like me, he comes from my past, you know, he's done stuff. And I like it. I like that he's hustling and he's, you know, out there down on his luck and willing to do stuff. He's a con man. And I think, you know, the opening scene with Lando and the way he gets the job done is absolutely brilliant because he doesn't, he's a braggart and he doesn't do the dirty work. He doesn't get his hands dirty if he doesn't have to. And I like that. I just think it's different than, you know, everything that we've seen, like Han, you know, shoot first, ask questions later. And yes, Han did shoot first. I enjoyed Lando, and I think Maliv's art on it is really good. And I think there's a couple of times with like close ups and everything like that. He just kept, just captures Billy Dee Williams in the look of it.
Right. And that was one of the things I was actually a little bit worried about, because while I am a big fan of Maliv's work, it does kind of lend itself to a little bit more of a dark style.
Mm-hmm.
And while there was some dark stuff in here, you know, Cloud City was very bright. And that's the image that I have of Lando from, you know, going into this. And I think Maliv does a very good job on the art chores. And I like this book a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this book would even stand alone outside of the Star Wars universe, because there's not, like, you don't know as much of Lando as you do your Luke and your Han and your Leia, your Darth Vader and your so forth, unless you're like a super fan reading the novels, reading the old Dark Horse books and everything else. If you were to just give this book to someone and just like, this is a brand new character, you'd be like, okay, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it quite a bit.
I did too.
Star Wars, Marvel doing a good job to date with the handling of the Star Wars books.
Yes, I totally agree.
Okay, so the last book that we're going to talk about that we both read from this past week is our preview book. Last week we had two preview books. This week it's only one. This is a book that is in stores today. If you're downloading the show, as it comes out Wednesday evening, this is available to purchase today, and that is Secret Six number 4, written by Gail Simone, with art by Ken Lashley and friend of the show, Tom Derenek.
Yes.
So this issue sees the new Secret Six hiding out in suburbia, but there's someone on their tail,
mm-hmm.
or someone's on their tail. And this is them battling those folks in small town America.
Yep. And this is how we got to, this is a flashback as
yes.
to how we got to where we are in issue 3, which is, I think, is even the way it ends. It's like how we got here. So this is their trip to suburbia, figuring out they're being followed. And then the revelation of the said characters that are attacking the Secret Six, which I found interesting, and I want to see now how I do not think this is the final iteration of the Secret Six.
No.
And I see maybe some of these people who are chasing the Secret Six folding into it, if that makes any sense. And I want to see where we go and how we get there, and maybe some team up of like the ventriloquist character and one of the people chasing them, I think, could be an interesting two people on the team. So we'll have to see.
I am not someone who likes change.
Right.
As we've discussed many times before. But it is Gale and it is Secret Six. So when this book started, you know, albeit like issue one came out and then it was a long time in between issue two and then a long time in between issue three because of the convergence stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it's going to get into its groove and the issues are going to come out, and even though we have these new team members, just, you know, with the previous run, I remember when, just as an example, Jeanette was a new character.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of her run, I loved Jeanette just as much as I did the original group.
Right.
It's good to see some familiar faces. It's good to see some familiar word balloons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to see some familiar dialogue. If you were a fan of the old Secret Six, and you were questioning whether or not to get back into it, you know, whether, whatever your feelings are about DC, whether your feelings are about the new team, this is the issue I think you should get.
Mm-hmm.
This is the issue so far that feels the most like the old run, but still staying true to what we've seen so far, which has only been three issues, mm-hmm. but still staying true to those three issues.
And also makes me want to buy Pecan Sandies.
Yes. And the art is beautiful in this, by the way.
Yes, it is. Maybe we should buy a page.
I didn't see any Easter eggs in this one, so no. I don't know.
Well, you know what? I think this one was done in a bit in a hurry, so maybe next time we'll...
Maybe next time.
Oh, and also on a side note, we might have a page coming our way that has us on it from another project that he did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll have to discuss on how we'll handle that.
Yeah.
So I think that covers everything that we read from this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into what's coming out this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com every Tuesday evening around 5 o'clock or so Eastern time, we put up the pull post, and that is a link within a link to all the books that are coming out this week, whether you get your books in print, at a store, mailed to your home, digitally. However you get your books, know what's coming out. Be ready when you go get your books so there's no surprises. You're not subscribing to things or a book didn't change title and now it's not on your list. Whatever. Be ready. Also in there is all the books that I'm getting this week and all the books that Todd is getting this week. We try to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out this week, as we did last year. We are continuing the trend this year. Todd is in the lead currently with 16 correct guesses. I'm trailing behind with 12. I'm hoping to get some headway here. We shall see. On Todd, since you started the episode, you guess first, correct?
Yes. I'm looking over your list, and you have more books than me.
Mm-hmm. Which has been the trend lately, I want to mention.
It is scary, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You had that one big week that had, like, the Transmet Omnibus and the Sandman chess set, and then it's all been, like, you know, then the books have started to disappear.
I wonder why that happened. My wallet's lighter, too, by the way. I'm looking over your list, and I have two choices in mind, but I'm going to go with the ending of a long-awaited book with Hawkeye 22.
You would be correct.
Okay.
Yes. I hope that this lives up to the lateness.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say. I'm really hoping that this is good. I really loved the Fraction Aja run on this book, and I think the lateness of the last arc has hurt it a bit. I am actually getting caught up on my comics from the last 3 weeks, Todd, so I may end up just rereading the whole last arc.
Ah, did you have somebody read your comics to you while you drove this weekend?
No. I can't trust people to do that.
Okay.
So for you... I was going to go with a knee-jerk reaction, but I do have a question.
Nocturnals, The Black Planet, is a reprint of the original trade paperback, which I have in a nice, super expensive hardcover. This is my reading copy. So it's previously, published stuff.
It's as though you knew, as though you read my mind.
Mm-hmm. So that is out of the running.
All right. So I will go with what my initial choice is going to be, and that's Ant-Man Annual #1.
Ding, 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 ding. You are correct, sir.
Booyah. After taking a little bit of a break, Nick Spencer back on Ant-Man. The five issues that he did so far were great. I'm sure this will be a continuation of the same, bridging the gap to the previous arc into the new arc that begins in September.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, there's an Ant-Man movie coming out this weekend.
Yay, Ant-Man.
I know Todd is definitely getting a chance to see it prior to recording and in between doing After Dark. We are trying to negotiate, figure out if and when I'm going to get a chance to see it. Still up in the air. I'm hoping to see it before we record next week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have to say about that.
That's the...
Go ahead.
No, nothing. Go ahead.
So while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to click around. We got lots of stuff over there. We got some links there to some sponsors of ours. Every little bit helps there. Of course, you can help us directly by clicking on the store button. We've got shirts and stickers available for sale. Also, you can click on the Amazon banner. Little purchases that you make there gives us a little bit on the back end. As today's show is live, today is Prime Day. If you're an Amazon Prime member, there are multitudes and multitudes of sales. They claim it is bigger, better, and badder than their Black Friday sales. So if you're going to partake in any of those, be sure to use our click-through for those. This past week, we had a bunch of stuff purchased through the Amazon click-through. Most notably, someone purchased an omnibuses. They should have been saving their money, knowing that the Superior Foes of Spider-Man 1 was coming. But I will not fault them for that, because they purchased the second omnibus of the original Avengers trade back from the Stan Lee days, and the first omnibus of the Brian Michael Bendis run.
Choice.
While you're over at longboxheroes.com, of course, be sure to click on our little post there pinned right to the front page on how you can win a piece of original art from our good friend artist this week on Secret Six, who does our fancy show logo, Tom Derenick. All you got to do is guess who is going to be the actress who plays Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Has to be the actual announcement, not some speculation on some third-party website. Official announcement. The whole thing, if you were the first correct guess on it, you will get a piece of original art with some caveats. Be sure to read that little post there and find out more about that. Another way that you can help us out non-monetarily is head over to iTunes. Not the preferable podcatcher, but the podcatcher that we deserve, I guess. And leave us a review where they just click 5 stars or write us a review. Any little bit helps and whatever... Well, I'm not going to say the rest. Mm-hmm. It just helps. It makes me happy to see more stars next to our name.
Yes. Lots of stars.
You're doing it right. You're not doing it for iTunes. You're doing it for me.
Yay.
And if you write us a review, we will read it on the show. And by we, I mean this week, Todd is going to read the latest review that was put up on the old iTunes account.
That's right. It's entitled Longbox Heroes Are the Cream of the Crop. And it's, I was promised that if I submitted this, Todd would read the promo review in the style of Macho Man Randy Savage. So here goes. He means Bonesaw, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Lanny Poffo, the genius's brother.
Right.
Sure.
So here's the rest of it. Nothing means nothing. Nothing meant nothing in the world of comics until Macho Longbox Heroes came around. Yeah. We're talking about all the way to the top. Yeah, in the world of comics, we were justifiably in a position that we'd rather not be in. But with our podcast, the cream will rise to the top. Ooh, yeah. Macho Longbox Madness. Yeah, has got more to offer than the world thinks that we got. Yeah. And let me tell you something right now. Cards stacked against the Macho Longbox Heroes. And let me say it. Yeah. Let me say it out loud. And let me point to the everyone that there is no doubt about it. Yeah. You know that we are the cream of the crop. And at one point, we were on top of the podcasting world. Now we're living in a nightmare because of Hulk Hogan. Yeah, we are the cream. Yeah, the cream of the crop. And there is no one that does it better than the Macho Longbox Heroes.
on balance, off balance, doesn't matter. We were better than you are. Yeah. And we're talking about everyone in the podcast world. Yeah. We're on our way and nothing is going to stop us. Nothing is going to stop us now. Nobody does it better. Oh, yeah.
I added the last, oh, yeah. Because it felt
that good. Was fantastic. I'm dying over here. I had to back away from the microphone. Oh, Todd, that was fantastic.
I tried because somebody actually sent me the
actual promo.
The promo, and I was like, oh God, too many people know where he goes up and he goes down on this.
Oh, it's a very famous promo. Yeah,
and I'm like, I'm gonna just do every other sentence up than down.
Right.
So I don't know. Nailed it. I want somebody
and by to very famous promo, it's known ramblings of a madman.
Yes. He put creamer on his head.
He certainly did.
So I saw that. Now I think we need another Doctor Who one for Leonard. That's all I'm saying.
I was going to say, I think if someone is going to write us a review between now and next week, yeah, it has to be some sort of Doctor Who gibberish.
Mm-hmm.
So I could do it in my best, worst Cockney accent.
Stonehenge speech. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. Todd's talking about something that doesn't make any sense.
Stonehenge. Whatever. Hello, Stonehenge. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Speaking in Spanish or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, thank you for leaving us that review. We greatly appreciate that. Follow us on Twitter as well. Show is at Longbox Heroes. I am at LFC, LF Chikarison. Todd is at Roker the Joker. That's R-O-W-K-E-R, the Joker. He also has another Twitter account, Todd's Art Attack.
Yes.
And we did have something submitted by friend of the show, Mark Cole, part of the Alliance. Mm-hmm. A Paste Pot Pete from Colleen Coover. Big Colleen Coover fan. And her take on Paste Pot Pete was delightful.
Yes, it was.
Also, you could find the other shows in our network, the soon-to-be-named network, whether you go to Longbox Heroes, click at the bottom of the page. All of the shows that are available there. Podvixy goes up usually Tuesday nights. You probably listen to them before you listen to us. Dad's Tractions, we had a show last week. A bit of an emotional episode, but, you know, I hunkered down and got into some personal stuff there. Prodigal Son's podcast has been doing great. They've been having some very good, interesting topics of conversation over the last couple of episodes. And Fresher in Parlance, I think, are back from their whirlwind jet-setting vacation. They've been off for the last 2 weeks.
Uh-oh. I hope they're okay.
Parlance is a world traveler, and I'm not saying that jokingly. You call me a world traveler, he legitimately is a world traveler. Like, there is nothing to him. It's like, oh, we're just going to pop over to, like, I don't know, Germany this weekend.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he keeps it real.
Getting some brats.
Yeah, getting something. No, he's actually, he and his wife are vegan, so.
Oh, hey, sorry.
Vegan brats.
Sorry.
So I think that covers everything. Did I miss? One last thing to cover.
Slow your roll, Chikarson. You got to do the brackets.
The brackets. And I gave it one last push before before we finished recording here. I don't know if you saw the tweet going out.
No, I didn't.
Sometimes you get those notifications. So I
do,
put the
but I'm concentrating on the show today.
Gotcha. So I put the brackets in there so you can see where our competitors have come and where they are going and who they got coming up as they continue on in the course of the tournament. As Todd mentioned, the number one seed, Batman, was taking on the number 10 seed, Aquaman. Aquaman, spoiler, last time he beat the number 2 seed, Harley Quinn. Will he beat the number 1 seed, Batman? Todd, I'm going to click the view results button right now.
Okay, I'll wait.
And pulling out a victory by 2 votes is Batman.
Oh.
It was tied before we started recording.
Can you imagine if Batman got bounced by Aquaman?
It almost happened. If we took the results 3 hours ago, Aquaman might have won. But again, thank you to everyone who voted. Batman moves on to the next round. We will get to the next round of DC in a couple weeks. Up this week, is going to be the first round in the indie bracket, and that is going to be the number 2 seed, representing Saga in Alana, taking on another upset person, the number 9 seed who had previously beaten Rick Grimes of The Walking Dead, and that is Gru the Wanderer.
Hmm. That's a crazy matchup.
That's right. All the indie matchups are crazy.
I'll bet you'll find a picture with Gru and Alana.
I bet you I won't. I bet you I'll just use the same pictures I used last time.
What?
Because I'm lazy.
Hmm.
At the very least, with the most of the, I would say most of the DC and Marvel ones that are going forward here, I could find everybody together. Not a problem, but we shall see. We still got many, many more weeks to go before the tournament is done.
Mm-hmm.
Is that everything for real now, Tom?
I think it is officially everything.
All right. So again, thanks to everyone for listening this week, closing out episode 58 of Longbox Heroes. For Todd, this is Leonard, and we will catch you all here next time.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boo!